Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, brain masseur. Are you ready for your gray matter massage?
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Paul Revere's Latin lighter here, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. I'm at the Crown Plaza in beautiful Los Angeles, watching the American Airlines runway of the LAX, missing my boy. Zachary, my son, 19 years old, is at this moment flying out to Oklahoma for Army boot camp and then AIT. We said our last goodbyes last night, with tears and hugs and a manly handshake, and then he initiated a salute to his old man. What was it yesterday that his mother put him into my arms, and I counted his toes and fingers, how quickly they grow up. Mom and I prayed through most of the night, got a full-blown case of empty nest syndrome. Add to that the usual concerns every parent has when their child goes off into military service in times like these. And we'll be looking at times like these in a little bit today. So I don't think it will be a problem, but you might hear some jets in the background. Perhaps even a little traffic noise below our window. All right, let's begin with a look at California's election results as we break out of the gates in the run to November. The elections that affect all of us in the union, I mean the races that impact the federal government, are Barbara Boxer's Senate seat, Lois Capp's congressional seat, and the governor race is also an important one to the nation. Let's begin with Boxer, the incumbent senator whose office is up for re-election on the Democrat ticket. She got about 1.5 million votes. The Republican challenger will be Carly Fiorina. She got 941,000 votes. Of course, Boxer was challenged by only two other Democrats on her Democratic ticket. Carly was up against four other challengers for the Republican nod. So to get an idea of how vulnerable Boxer is to being unseated this coming November, you've got to compare the total number of Democratic votes cast in this primary election to the total number of Republican votes cast in this election. Remember, now, these numbers are going to be changing for a few more days. By the time this show airs, all the ballots will have been counted, and the numbers might be a little bit different by then. However, they call the election after one candidate receives a clear majority, and they've already called these elections. So, as of Wednesday morning at about 7 a.m., the total Democrat votes came in at about 1.76 million, while the Republican produced a total of 1.65 million votes. Pretty close. However, when I checked again an hour later, the Democrats picked up another 9,500 votes. Oh, but the Republicans picked up an additional 21,000 votes. Now, let's see how the other parties voted, and let us speculate, shall we, which way those votes will likely go in the general election in November. There are four other parties in this race: the Green Party, the Peace and Freedom Party, the American Independent Party, and the Libertarian Party. Now, we expect the Green and the Peace voters to go with the Democrats and the Independents and Libertarians to go with the Republicans. And, of course, there will be exceptions, but that is the general way they trend. That gives the Democrats another 17,000 votes. However, the Libertarians and Independents, well, they account for another 44,000 votes. So, you see, the conservatives are stronger in California than many people believe. Anyway, the total number of votes that will almost certainly go to Boxer comes out to about 1.78 million, and those that will likely go to Fiorina are something in the area of 1.69 million. Another very important factor, however, is the significant number of voters who lay out of primary races and wait for the main event in November. For example, out of a total of about 17 million registered voters, which includes all parties here in California, only about 3 million actually voted in this primary. The primary voters are usually pretty well set. It's very partisan, as the snakehead would say. So next we look at the total number of registered Democrats versus the total number of Republicans that are registered. The Democrats boast 7.5 million registered Democrats in California, as compared to the Republicans, 5.2 million. Now, you add about 400,000 to the Republicrats that come from the Libertarians and Independents, and then a little over 113,000 to the Democrats coming in from the Green and Peace parties. And so you have roughly 7.6 million Democrat votes as compares with 5.6 million Republicrat votes. All right. It looks like the conservatives are more motivated at present. And there seems to be enough votes up for grabs by either party it's too close to call. Republicrats do have a real opportunity to take Boxer out. And Meg, she just might be able to beat Jerry Brown, that is. According to Realpolitik, the old Russian term for pragmatic politics, Meg Whitman was seen as the right gal to go up against Brown, and Fiorina was seen as the right gal to go up against Boxer. Well, in light side politics, as opposed to dark side politics, let us see what we have. We have a Republican running for governor who supported Barbara Boxer in her last election bid, and another Republican running for Boxer's seat whose record on life is iffy, to say the least. Actually, her record on the subject of abortion is probably about what we would expect from someone who compromises when the choices get tough. In other words, when you're not looking at the pro-life issue from the perspective of the right of the child in the womb to be protected and given life, but instead you are looking at it through the situation of an unwanted baby, you know, a tough choice, well, then Fiorina waffles. When it's about gaining political steam for her own career by helping McCain win pro-abort votes, you know, masquerading as abortion-friendly or as being abortion-sympathetic, only when pressed and for political reasons, she's compelled to confess that down under she's pro-life, which means she is where most pro-choice people are. They love to say that they are for life personally, except when the choices are tough. Then they waffle on their commitment to the life of the baby in the womb. Well, that's what I expect from Fiorina. It is doubtful that Fiorina will be as rabidly pro-choice, pro-abort, as Boxer has been, but she is not a committed pro-lifer. She is what you call a political pro-lifer. She is pro-life if it gets her votes. Meg seems to have a more definite record on this on the life issue. And many think she is inclined toward pro-life sentiment because she voted in favor of notifying parents before teenagers under 16 can get an abortion. In an interview with Fleischman, however, the vice chairman south of the Republican Party in California, Meg Whitman openly declared herself to be almost as rabid a pro-abort as her friend Barbara Boxer, whom she supported. I think it's best, actually, let's just go ahead and look directly at the interview. I'll quote it from his post on his site called Flashpoint. Fleischman asks, "Let's have a thoughtful conversation about the sanctity of life issue, because I know it's been talked about. I guess the first thing I would ask is, how do you self-characterize your public policy position on the abortion question?" Meg Whitman responds, quote, "You know that I want to run this campaign on economic issues, on jobs and spending and the economy, but I've been very straight up on where I stand on these issues. I am pro-choice. I am for a woman's right to choose. I am not for late-term abortions or partial birth abortions. I actually voted in favor of the parental notification proposition so that girls under 16 need to have their parents notified because as a mother, I would want to know. But I don't want to take that right away from women who make that choice," end quote. Fleischman, okay. So does that in essence mean that you believe that life doesn't begin at conception, but somewhere at viability? Or, and Meg Whitman interjected, "Actually, I think every individual needs to make that choice themselves. And I think women need to have the ability to make the choice of what they think is the right thing for them and their families for their personal situation." Fleischman interjects, "until we reach one of these accepted points of," and then Meg Whitman interrupts again, "absolutely, late-term abortion." Fleischman, "So what's a late-term abortion?" Whitman, "Well, I think it's defined by statute, right, in the state of California, as at the last 3 months or the last 4 months." Fleischman, "Right. And you're comfortable saying the last trimester it would not be right?" Meg Whitman interrupts, "I am comfortable with whatever the exact statute is in California. I think it's 4 months, but it might be three." Fleischman asks, "So let's talk about, because I think I read, but I want to make sure that it's accurate, that you support the use of public funds." Meg Whitman says, quote, "That's correct," end quote. Fleshman asks, so if you go into this idea that the theory is that government money should be paid for things that are for the greater good, how would you justify taking, say, my tax dollars and spending it on something that I think we can all agree is controversial? Meg Whitman replies, quote, absolutely, it's controversial. And by the way, I respect your position on this. I really do respect your position on this. And smart, intelligent, nice people can agree to disagree on this because they are tough issues. My view is that if we are going to be pro-choice, that people do have the ability to have an abortion if they think it's the right thing for them, subject to the rules that we just described, that it needs to be available to all women, and whether you are rich or poor, you need to be able to access that right. And it's unfair to women who cannot afford an abortion, and that's why I support public funding, end quote. So without going into the whole idea of public funding anything that is just not right for someone not to have, there you have it. The Republican Party has forsaken the pro-life position of Ronald Reagan. The Republican Party is, as I said in my last show, sick. It has contracted the same disease that corrupted Jefferson's once relatively innocent party into a sewer supporting every perversion imaginable. And that's what happens when you turn your back on life and support the idea that some human rationalization can justify murdering babies in the womb. When your soul accepts that lie, it begins corrupting the conscience. It's a corrosive that corrupts the soul and drives it farther and farther into darkness. This is because a conscience that has been so warped that it can accept the idea that it is acceptable to murder babies in the womb must hide in darkness from the glaring light of common sense. It must hide from the obvious fact that the baby is a human being, scientifically speaking. It must hide from the galling truth, which is the reason they scream bloody murder when you suggest every mother ought to be honestly informed about abortion before they exercise their right to choose. That's why they refuse to allow us to show people what happens to a child that is torn to pieces by suction, ripped apart by forceps, and cut to pieces by a scalpel, burned to death by saline. You brutal baby killers, no wonder you don't want anyone to know what you're doing and why you hide in darkness. You pro-choicers, why don't you just admit the truth? Before you decided to go for choice, you were more conservative, morally speaking. But when you took a step into the dark side and accepted the idea that mothers have a right to murder their babies in the womb, you began to slide farther and farther away into that darkness. And now many of you will admit, if you have any honesty about you, that before you accepted the idea of pro-choice, you were more morally conservative. But since you embraced murdering babies in the womb, your conscience has gotten harder and harder, and now you don't even have the ability to recognize homosexuality as a perversity, much less a very dangerous life-killing lifestyle. Lovers of death, shame on you. Shame on the Republican Party for abandoning the babies in the womb. Some of you just keep trying to hang on to the Republicans. They're going to drag you down with them. Reagan was a pro-life Republican who won on that platform. And listen, fewer people today support pro-choice than they did then. But that's what you get when you let the mainstream media choose your candidates. You yahoos. Yeah, you don't believe in the mainstream media. You think they're just a pack of liars. And yet you let them convince you that unless you pick a pro-choice candidate, you can't win in California. Well, you've done it in California. You've committed yourself to public funding of abortion in California, and you did it based on the same sorts of arguments that are used by pro-choice advocates to justify murdering babies in the womb. You know, well, we don't like abortion personally, but when the choices get tough, you know, we think the mother should decide. All right, well, let's see what happens to your party here in California now that you have gone solidly pro-abort, now that you have chosen the dark side. All you can do now is argue in support of abortion, you know, in support of pro-choice. Don't you see? God has called you out. He's exposed you. Now, there is no longer any doubt about the Republican Party in California. Like rats, you have abandoned the baby in the womb. You've abandoned the party of Reagan. I know I've stirred you up. You can call me at 1-888-770-8000. That number again is toll-free, 1-888-770-8000. And give me a lights on if you agree, a lights off if you disagree. I'll be right back.
Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com for an archive of great brain massage shows that you can download and distribute to others free of charge. If you want to give us a gift to help with broadcasting costs, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and click on the donate button or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. The Brain Massage Show is ready to go. Get ready. Your brain is about to get a massage.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur and spokesperson for God. Paul Revere's lantern lighter here, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march. By the way, Paul Revere will be one of the characters who will make an appearance at our first annual Roots of Liberty Summer Camp at Lighthouse Baptist Church. Teachers in colonial period costumes will represent Washington, Hamilton, Adams, Jefferson, and others, and will be teaching the children the truth about our heritage. It's called Roots of Liberty Summer Camp, and it runs from June 28th to July 2nd. And if you want to enroll your child or grandchild, call 805-347-9887. That number is 805-347-9887. It will get you enrolled. We do have to limit the seats, so you need to call right away. It's free, by the way. If you want your kids to learn the truth about the founding of America, enroll them in Roots of Liberty Summer Camp. Call 805-347-9887 and enroll your child as soon as you can. You can also call our toll-free number. That's our brain massage hotline number where you call in and leave a message, lights on or lights off. You can use that number, 1-888-770-8000, and tell us you want to enroll in Roots of Liberty Summer Camp or ask for more information. Leave your number, we'll get back to you. And you can go to our website, www.santamarialighthouse.org. Click on the Contact Us button. You'll see a link there, Roots of Liberty enrollment information or instructions. Click on that. It'll give you specific instructions on how to use the email there on that website to enroll your child. All right, let's get to work. Analyzing the election results for this primary election and trying to get an idea of how the conservative movement is looking coming out of the gates now and beginning the run to November. In California, it's not looking good for conservatives, in my opinion. Republicans used to be a home for conservatism, being the party of Reagan and all. But now they have bought into the murdering of babies industry, and Meg Whitman wants to use tax money to fund abortions. If you wondered why she supported Boxer a while back, now you know. As for Fiorina, who is the Republican candidate running against Boxer this November, her abortion record is unclear, except that she has identified as pro-choice in the past and then identified as pro-life. She served McCain by attempting to garner pro-choice votes for his campaign. You know what? Politicians make me sick. They are the biggest pack of spineless weasels on the face of the planet. The Republican Party of California has set us up for a loss no matter who wins. You think Meg Whitman is going to be a fiscal conservative, and so it does not matter that she is a social liberal. Well, you don't understand. The corruption of abortion is in her soul. She accepts abortion for pragmatic reasons, and such an evil soul will compromise to other evils that perhaps at present are even unimaginable to her. She's corrupted by the progressive disease. And just give it time. Just like old Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, fiscal conservative, remember him? When faced with the devil, she'll do just like he did. She'll yield place to him. She has chosen death rather than life. Her governorship is cursed. The curse of innocent blood is upon her. Brown has long been under the curse of innocent blood. Neither of these will pull California out from under the cloud of current judgment. You had better prepare for even darker days to come. Wake up, by the way. I know that many who listen to me hate my guts and listen only because they love to hate me and vent at the radio when I'm talking. Others listen because they suppose I'm a voice that supports their particular political party and get mad at me when I stray. But then most of the people who listen to me, of course, listen because they appreciate somebody who just is bold enough to tell the truth. And I am for the truth. Period. Killing babies is murder. Period. Meg Whitman supports the murder of the unborn, and therefore I declare the curse of innocent blood upon her and all who support her. Ha! You see, my dear friends, and I say that sincerely, my dear friends, I'm not one of Plato's hired sophists. I'm not on someone's payroll hired to speak to a certain group what it is they want to hear, to repeat to the people what they are saying to themselves. It happens that often I do say what is on the heart of a great many people, and I don't doubt that right now I'm expressing the frustration and anger of many pro-life Republicans. But some of you are more committed to a party than you are to the innocent life of the baby in the womb. Shame on you. You have dipped your hands into the innocent blood shed by these abortionists in the state and in this land, and you are no longer innocent. I've discussed the statewide elections, the gubernatorial and Senate races. Let's look at the congressional race here in District 23, which also has an impact on the overall national government. This district is called the Spaghetti District. If you've ever seen the boundaries of it, you would laugh at what a joke these people have made out of our once representative republic. It's a study in all the ways progressives have degraded our representative republic into a third-world democracy, like a Chavez-style dictatorship, really. Anyway, the 23rd Congressional District is the quintessential example of gerrymandering. And by the way, this gerrymandering business is when a group of wicked politicians of any stripe, both sides do it, manipulate the boundaries of a district to favor their party. It's a way wicked politicians have of protecting their seats of power. A bit more difficult in statewide elections, but a very powerful tool of oppression on the district level. Lois Capps has one of the most, if not the most, obviously gerrymandered districts in America. She got 39,504 votes. That is, as of Wednesday, June 9, 2010. Tom Watson, I cannot find, by the way, a single statement by him or about him that explains his view on abortion. And that can only mean one thing. He's just another status quo politician of the Republican who happens to be of the Republican stripe that essentially wants the abortion question off the platform. There is a growing number of Republicans who do not want the abortion issue to be part of what defines a Republican, by the way. That issue, hey, remember, is what brought thousands, many thousands of pro-life Christians into the party of Lincoln, say party of Reagan. But the aristos in the party want to shake us off. I'm telling you, folks, the Republican Party does not have much life left in it. I don't know where Watson stands on that issue. You call and correct me if I'm off on this. But, you know, he's got to be better than Capps, right? Just remember that I warned you, dark side politics can only lead our nation in one direction, deeper into darkness. Let's take a look at the congressional race here in District 23. Lois Capps pulled 39,504 Democrat votes out of a possible 65,514 registered Democrats in District 23. Watson pulled 11,554 Republican votes out of a possible 37,505 registered Republicans. Lois Capps ran uncontested, so her 39,500 votes represent all the Democrats' votes that were cast in this primary. Watson ran in a pack of five contestants, and so the total number of Republican votes cast in this primary was actually 32,209, and that's interesting when compared with the 35,505 that are registered. I guess Republicans really care about this election, and they're motivated, and the Democrats apparently are not. Anyway, Capps' seat is definitely up for grabs, and Watson might pull it off. All right, anyway, let's get off the elections just for a little bit. I wanted to weigh in on the Israeli flotilla fiasco. Have you seen the videos yet? The peace-loving Palestinians were clubbing Israelis to death on their peace mission boats. By the way, when they inspected these boats, they found hordes of clubs, wooden clubs, steel pipes, knives, firebombs. I mean, these people prepared for their peace mission, chanting an old Arab death to Jews mantra. The Israelis hailed them four times to change direction. They refused to comply, and so they were boarded, and then they attacked the Israelis, who, of course, defended themselves. And the whole world is crying, Israeli aggression, Israeli aggression. It's getting very, very old. This pot is going to boil over, my friends, and those who stand against Israel are going to get clobbered, which does not give us much comfort considering the Muslim-loving Muslim. You ever notice how Obama says Muslim? Yeah, he almost says it with a kiss, Muslim. Anti-Semite we have in the White House at present, whose policies, by the way, are directly responsible for the escalation we see in tensions in the Middle East. Israel's leaders have repeatedly expressed grave concern over the fact that America's perceived weakness on their defense as weakening Israel as a whole and encouraging her enemies to suppose they can strike. And Iran is preparing to do so. Rumors about a possible terrorist attack responsible for the oil rig are floating out there. Did you know that? Some are trying to attach it to Iran. Have you heard that one? And by the way, have you noticed the sudden, and I mean sudden, shift in rhetoric coming out of the mainstream media and the White House on Iran? Evidently, Iran has been hiding Osama bin Laden for about 5 years, something we've been suggesting for a long, long time now. Clear messages are being sent now to Iran that America is looking for an excuse to make a move on them. Obama's got to rescue his sinking image, you know, which is sinking only slightly slower than the oil rig did and creating about as large a political oil slick, one that nobody wants to let get near them. You heard Obama sent SWAT teams to inspect the platforms and rigs off the Gulf Coast, right? SWAT teams. I've checked into this. It seemed to me like it must have been a mistake. Like some others, I thought he might have been referring to SWAT teams. SWOT, which, by the way, is an acronym for Strengths, Weaknesses, Opportunities, and Threats. And it refers to analysis for strategic planning, and it's used to evaluate a project or a business venture. I didn't know the Department of Interior had SWAT teams or SWAT teams. Anyway, I thought he must have meant SWAT teams, SWOT. However, after I looked into it, sure enough, Press Secretary Gibbs put out a statement And I read a transcript of the president's statement, and they both confirm he said SWAT teams, S-W-A-T, SWAT teams. Now, that's for law enforcement. And in fact, law enforcement sent in when we expect to have some resistance to deal with. You don't send SWAT teams in to inspect. You send SWAT teams in to attack a defended position. This is one of the reasons many think there is something more afoot here in this oil slick business than something that can be written off as an accident. These offshore oil rigs have three levels of backup to shut them down in the event of some explosion. All three backup systems fail. Rumors out of Russia are circulating saying North Korea torpedoed the rig. Others are saying a German submarine did it. Whoa! Some are saying the Bilderberg globalist gang arranged it to keep oil prices artificially high. Others that it's part of the scam to push forward their globalist agenda in America. It's getting squirrely out there, my friends. And we know this always happens. When an event of this magnitude takes place, these conspiracy theories begin to surface. I'm convinced something, however, is being hidden. I mean, SWAT teams to inspect? Don't insult my intelligence. Mark Levin, who worked in the Department of Interior, is very alarmed that the president would say that the department has SWAT teams. Indeed, why does the Department of the Interior have SWAT teams? I mean, that department is tasked with the responsibility to protect America's natural resources. It deals with tribal issues, heritage issues, you know what I mean? Stuff. What in the world would they do with SWAT teams? I mean, does the IRS have SWAT teams now? Does the Department of Education have SWAT teams? Nobody knew the Department of the Interior started fielding SWAT teams. Are they going to field SWAT teams to take property from our farmers if they happen to have a three-legged frog somewhere in their field? Oh, mercy. SWAT teams have been sent to the platforms and rigs in the Gulf to inspect them. Levin thinks it's another Obama step toward establishing a kind of dictatorship over our economy, a show of force to get us accustomed to Chavez-style governance, you know? I wonder if there is a genuine concern, however, that this was a terrorist attack, and they're sending in the SWAT teams to protect the platforms and rigs. What do they expect to find? Why such a show of force? To perform an inspection? Something isn't right here. All right, I got to wrap it up. Another really big shoe. I hope you enjoyed your brain massage for today. And by the way, I was pretty rough on my Republican friends, but remember, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees, the hardest of all, because they were his party. Oh, yeah. Surprise? You ought to go to Sunday school where you can learn something. But anyway, his disciples were of the Pharisee tradition, and in terms of his doctrine, he sided much more with the Pharisees than with the Sadducees. And as many as he loves, he rebukes and chastens. My friends, I'm weeping with a broken heart over the Republican Party's abandonment of the children in the womb, abandoning the pro-life platform of the party of Reagan. My friend, doing so is a very bad idea. I've lit the lights in the church belfry arch. The signal the enemy is on the march. Call in and let me know. You see the lights are on. I'm paying for the call. They tell me this 888 number of ours is toll-free from anywhere in the country. Give me a call at 1-888-770-8000. That is 1-888-770-8000. It's very easy, very quick. Just say lights on and hang up. Or if you disagree, you can say lights off and hang up. You can also reach me on the web. Go to www.santamarialighthouse.org, all one word, lowercase, you know the drill. Click on the Contact Us button. You'll find a form there. You can indicate lights on or lights off, and then write me a letter. I love to hear from my audience. I look forward to hearing from you. Call 1-888-770-8000 or catch me on the web. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com for an archive of great brain massage shows that you can download and distribute to others free of charge. If you want to give us a gift to help with broadcasting costs, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and click on the donate button, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. For a complete brain massage experience, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The Brain Masseur is waiting to massage your brain with scintillating insights.